Good afternoon. Good to see everyone back this afternoon. Thank you for your presence here. We know we usually have visitors among us, and we're thankful for you. Hope that you'll stick around and let us get an opportunity to get to know you better. And also invite you back anytime you may have in the future. The batteries may be dead in this thing, Heath. It was left on. Lesson I prepared this afternoon is intended to be one of encouragement, one to help us all with something I think all of us from time to time as Christians struggle with, that being the concept of worry, or a more technical term, maybe anxiety, that we use interchangeably with those two words. And the lesson is entitled, Five Things God's Children Should Never Worry About. Okay? You notice the little emoji, that's what folks call that little yellow face up there. That is the worry emoji. You have that on your phone or your device, and you can pick that as a response to how your emotion is. Several years ago, I preached a series of lessons on the benefits of being a child of God. And oftentimes critics of Christianity are ready to point out the negative aspects of the Christian life because they have no knowledge oftentimes of the benefits, the positive benefits of being a Christian. Some facts about worry quickly or anxiety. A recent Cornell University study indicated that 85% of things we worry about never happen. Okay, 85% never happen. Of the 15% that do happen, study shows 79% of the time the people handle the situation better than they thought they would. However, worry cripples a lot of people in our world today. I think we recognize that. If you have your Bibles, be turning in Philippians chapter 4. Will serve as kind of the fundamental basic statement for our scripture for our lesson this afternoon. Thank you, Don. And we've got 5 points that we'll go through here shortly about this, five things that we want to talk about. The Apostle Paul told the Christians there in Philippi, chapter 4, verse number 6, be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing was the writing of the inspired apostle to Christians. I give credit to our brother Mark Posey down at the Winfield Church of Christ in Alabama for this outline. I did find it in, he publishes a document called Pulpit Preview. Well, that's hard to say, Pulpit Preview. It makes those outlines available, and I saw this one and thought it would make a good lesson for us today, and I adapted it and added my own spin to some of these things, but appreciate that. We want to look at five things God's children should never worry about. Number one, being forsaken. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. As you're turning there, in the Hebrew writer's closing paragraphs, he admonished us to keep obeying, keep doing, keep following, keep loving. As followers, better covenant than what they had under Judaism. You remember the Hebrew Christians there were torn. They were thinking about going back to the rudimentary things of the law. And the Hebrew writer's purpose was to show the positive nature of the new covenant and how much better it was than those things that they had lived under before. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5. Familiar passage to us all, I'm sure. But I think it's a rich passage that we should think about in this context. Hebrews 13, verse 5. I'm reading from the New King James Translation. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with the things that you have, for he himself has said. And he's quoting here from Moses in Deuteronomy. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, we can't say that about a lot of things in this life, can we? Because oftentimes friends forsake us. Family oftentimes forsakes us. But we can be assured as children of God that He will not forsake us. It is true that God provides for all people. Physically, He provides for all people. Remember on the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said there in chapter 5 of Matthew, verse 45, God makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good. His rain falls on the just and the unjust. So He makes provision for people physically. But for the child of God here, the Hebrew writer, I believe, is saying, I will never send you back. Never let go of you. Never relax my hold on you. Loosen my grip on you. Give up on you. He's also saying that I will never leave you behind, abandon you, or desert you. That's the assurance that children of God have. Now, we obviously have an obligation with that. God has said He will not forsake us, but is it possible for us to forsake Him? It is, isn't it? The Bible teaches that in several places. And that's a sad condition. That's a sad place to find yourself. Okay? But we need to keep on doing the things that we know to do in order to stay in God's good standing. I'll never leave you behind, abandon you, or desert you. If this doesn't encourage us or give us a greater understanding of God's faithfulness and commitment to us, then I don't know what will. You can be confident that God is with you and will always be with you. So, as children of God, we should not worry about being forsaken. Number two, we should not worry about feeling useless. As just one out of about 8 billion people on the face of the earth, I sometimes feel useless. How about you? Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. In the context here, you'll recognize this passage beginning in verse 12. Again, Paul writing to Christians, first century Corinth, who may have been feeling a little bit useless, maybe feeling not knowing where they fit in, and those sorts of things that we all face from time to time. He uses the analogy of a human body. Something we're all familiar with to illustrate the usefulness of all of us. We won't take the time to read this whole passage. It goes through verse about 27. But he talks about here, the church should be no division in the body. The members should have the same care for one another. Verse 26, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. You know, we all can't be the head, right? We all can't be the more attractive members of the body and those sorts of things. But it takes all of us working together to make this thing successful. Recently, I had when you get my age, if you sleep funny, sometimes you have problems. We were camping, I guess it was last spring, and I slept funny. And I woke up, and I knew something in my shoulder just wasn't right, you know, how you feel, something out of place or whatever. Well, ultimately, I lost feeling in these three fingers on my left hand. Some people might say, well, that's just minor, you know. But if you ever tried to grip something or hold on to something with only two or three fingers in one hand, when you're used to doing it with all of them, it's a problem. And the feelings there in those fingers, it made my hand basically useless for a while until it just ultimately went away, thankfully. But none of us are useless to God. We all have something to offer. And we've said this many times in other settings. You may think that you have no talent, you have no usefulness in the body of Christ. I would argue with that, with that concept, because I know we all have things that we can offer. I mean, look at some of the men who have stepped up in the last month and presented lessons, wonderful lessons, things that they may not before thought they could ever do. They were able to do it. And I just use that as an example. Many of you ladies have stepped up over the last month or so and volunteered to take on activities and events and plan for those things, and we're thankful for that. You may have thought 2 months ago you couldn't do anything like that, but you can, and you can do it successfully. So we recognize that. So we should not feel useless. Number three, we should not worry about the future. Be turning your Bibles back in the Old Testament to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. We'll be there in just a moment. Can you imagine an enemy nation coming in and carrying you and your family and your friends off into a foreign land to be slaves or prisoners? I can't imagine that. I pray a lot, and I know you do as well, that it never happens in this country. But it could, and I think we all recognize that it could. That's what happened to the children of Israel, wasn't it? Nebuchadnezzar, king of the Babylonians, came in and took over, carried those folks off back to Babylon. What would you do, or what would that do to your hopes, your dreams for the future? It would put a damper on them, wouldn't it, to say the least. Jeremiah 29, verse number 11. The child of God doesn't have to worry about the future. Word was sent to the children of Israel here through the prophet Jeremiah. Word from God. He says, verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." See, God had prophesied that they would not be in captivity forever. And he reinforced it here through the words of Jeremiah, that they would have a future. Let's look forward into the New Testament, book of John. Very familiar passage, John 14, verse number 1 beginning. It's a passage I like to recite to myself when I'm feeling down or uncertain about the future. And all those things, you sit and look at the world and you wonder how things can stand. And as us as Christians, we realize that, yes, we're citizens of this country, but we're also citizens in heaven. And we need oftentimes to think about that in our daily lives. Jesus is speaking here to his disciples. I get the sense that they were troubled. There was some trepidation in their mind over the fact that he had told them on numerous occasions that he was ultimately going to be delivered over to the hands of evil men and be killed and all those kind of things. Listen to what he says. "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. And I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Words from our Savior that give us hope for the future. Words of encouragement. As God's children, we don't have to worry about the future. There's a song that we sing sometimes, and the chorus goes like this. "Many things about tomorrow I don't seem to understand, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I know who holds my hand. We don't have to worry about the future. Point number four, we don't have to worry about bothering God with prayer. I don't know about you, but I sometimes wonder how the God of this universe, the God that spoke all this into existence, could care about my problems and my wants and my desires. You know, that's how we'd think if we were God, right? Wrong. We're not God. He has the capacity and does care about every minute detail. 1 Peter 5 and verse 7, another familiar passage. Peter there, the inspired writer, says, casting your care, that's what the New King James says, but the New American Standard renders that word anxiety. Casting all your anxiety upon him, who? God. Because why, Peter? Because he cares for you. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians 5, verse 17. Let's back up to 16. Paul there says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. It's God's will that we pray. In everything give thanks and those sorts of things. You'll notice both these passages, 1 Peter that we read there, 5 and 7, and also 1 Thessalonians 5, both those passages were written to Christians, children of God. I think the message is this. You can pray about anything that's bothering you. Don't worry about bothering God with prayer. He can handle it. Another thing the child of God should not worry about, feeling unforgiven. Feeling unforgiven. Maybe you've said this before, you've heard it said, I know I have. I've just done too many bad things in my life. There's no way God will forgive me. There we go again, substituting God's thoughts for our thoughts and limiting his power to forgive. It will remind us of Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. There where God says, my thoughts and my ways are higher than yours. As high as the heavens are above the earth are my ways and my thoughts above yours. Look at 1 John 1 and verse number 9. 1 John 1. Verse number 9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Again, written to Christians. He is faithful and just to forgive our sins. Do you believe that? I hope that you do. It's vital that you do. Because we all know as Christians, we do fall short from time to time, don't we? That is possible. And we know from Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, it's that sin that separates us from God. We need reconciliation. And for the Christian, that's available as well. Look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Verses 1 through 5. My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Verse 3. Now by this we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He who says, I know him, and does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever, verse 5, keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected or completed in him. By this we know that we are in him. So what's he saying there? We can know, right? We can know whether or not we're in Christ by how we live our lives, how we act, and how we're what we do in context of his word. Are we obedient to his word? And all those sorts of things. That's how we can know. And we don't have to worry about feeling unforgiven. We can know that we're forgiven. You know, that's something that the child of God has that the world doesn't have, right? The world is still in their sin. The world has not yet contacted the blood of Christ to take that sin away, giving them access to the throne of God and forgiveness and all those things. You know, carrying the feeling of unforgiven sin is a heavy load that God, through Christ, has removed. I don't know about you, but when we, you know, in the past when I've carried a sin, it's a heavy load. But boy, doesn't it feel so wonderful when you decide to give that load up and ask for prayers, knowing that those prayers will be heard, knowing that that sin is forgiven through the blood of Christ. It's a wonderful feeling. As we bring this lesson to a close, I wanted to mention, you've heard me say this probably before in classes and other contexts. As a father to my children, those children who've been in my household in the past and in it there currently, there are things that my kids don't have to worry about by virtue of them being my kids. Shelter, clothing, food, physical needs. All those things that they don't have to worry about. One final passage I wanted to point out to you. It's very familiar. Matthew chapter 7. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew 7, verse number 9. 9 through 11. In context of earthly fathers. And we'll contrast it with a heavenly father here in a moment. Matthew chapter 7, verse 9. Jesus here speaking, he asks a question. For what man is there among you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who's in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Think about that for a moment. God will provide those things that we need. There are a lot of things that we don't have to worry about as being a child of God. Just five that we've listed here this afternoon, and that's not an exhaustive list. Being forsaken, feeling useless, worrying about the future, bothering God with prayer, feeling unforgiven. Those things we don't have to worry about. We could go on and on listing the things that God does for us. But I think this is a good list to help us remind us of God's blessing for us and his children, and I hope that you're encouraged by it. It could be that you struggle with one or more of these things. God doesn't want that. He's provided a way of escape from those things, from the worry, from the anxiety, and all those kind of things that are oftentimes brought on by could be brought on by sin or just life. You know, life is hard. And in the world that we live in, you've heard me say this before, my observation is it's harder and harder to live the life of a Christian each day that goes on because of the evil and the ungodly atmosphere in which we live. But yet God still desires for us to live for him. God has equipped us with everything that we need in his word, all things that pertain to life and godliness, and to be successful in living for him in this world. Today, if you're here, not a child of God, you don't have the benefits that we talk about yet. It's not to say you can't have them, but it takes action on your part. if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, willing to repent of your sins, confess his wonderful name before this group, and continue to confess him as you live your life before your fellow man. Be baptized in water. See, that's where we meet the cleansing blood that washes away our sin. God has promised that he will add us to his church, his kingdom. Could be that you've done those things in times past, but maybe something has happened in your life and taken your eye off the goal of heaven. Sin has been part of that, separating you from God. God has promised, we just read it here, that he is faithful and just to forgive. If you have a need this afternoon to become a Christian or to be restored or just maybe need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ, we offer you this invitation as we stand and as we sing.